There you go.
It's light blue. It has to be dark blue.
I think
that's it. Well, Marge, I would like to come ask you if you could explain these terms, these concepts of pravritti and nivritti, which are like different practicing procedures which are described in the Vedas. And I'm not so sure of the, I think maybe these terms mean different things in different contexts. If you, could you speak something about that?
I'm not really expert. This nivritti means doing something, acting without using something, without using anything. So, and pravritti means acting. Using something. So in Vedas, both ways are considered as appropriate. You may advance to your goal by rejecting what is not necessary on your way. And you can advance to your goal by using what is appropriate, what is necessary for your goal. So these both ways, they don't contradict each other. But as we say, there is a golden middle, right? It's golden. We say that the middle way is the best.
Or golden mean. Golden mean.
Yeah, golden mean. Yeah, we call it golden middle. Okay, golden mean means simultaneously to reject what is not necessary, because when you reject everything, then there's a big chance you reject what you need. Or if you accept everything, then big chance that you overload yourself with unnecessary things. And in both cases, you would slow down your movement. But when you reject unnecessary and accept necessary, then you speed up, you make your journey easier, and this is the shortest way. So that's pravritti, nivritti. Sometimes also in Bhagavatam, this is explained, pravritti explains like the path of satisfaction or the path of saturation. So when you take more and more and more, and finally you understand that everything, you don't want anything else. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like that.
Like karma kanda.
Yeah. Yes, you enjoy, then you understand that after trying all this, all these types of enjoying self-aggravation, you realize that it doesn't bring you any happiness, and then you easily reject it.
When I talk to Ramadhi Das.
Yeah, something like this.
But in one sense, you think you could say bhakti is like you could say it's a form of pravritti in the sense it's engaging, utilizing.
Yeah, it's we call it yukta vairagya, conscious approach to what you need and what you don't need, conscious approach to what you're going to reject. you know, suppose the goal of your journey is some point A, okay? And some things necessary depends on how many days or how long you're going to walk or drive, whatever. It depends what you need. If it's like, you know, when you go to a tourist shop, they have varieties of backpacks. And they say, one day travel, 2 days, 3 days, seven, you know, and according to how many days you're going to go to mountains or desert or whatever, the volume is different. So like 7 days, it's a big, big, like 95 liters volume. If it's like 1 day walk, it's 22. Depends. So our affectionate guides, our gurus, they tell us, in particular case, they tell us, you are in such a position that your journey is going to be that long. So in your journey, you need to have this and this and that. Like when Rupa and Sanatana first wrote a letter to Mahaprabhu saying that we are not attracted to anything in this world anymore, we want to join you right away. And Mahaprabhu said, no, wait. You have to finish something. You don't reject now. When time comes, I will inform you separately. I will inform you in proper way. So for them, they needed some time to be prepared to Vairagya, to arrange some things, to wait until the Shah declares war upon Maharaja of South country, Prataparudra, and collects his army, and so some things. So to be some things were needed to be done, and in some cases, Mahaprabhu said right away, now walk, go away, walk free now, don't be attached. So we, for our particular journey, we need to know what we need in our journey, what we don't. Like if you drive the car, you need to buy petrol. If you walk, you need to take some backpack. If you walk in the town, in populated area, you don't need anything. You just take your card, credit card. You don't need to carry things with you. But if you walk in desert or in mountains, in forest, then you need to take some food, water, some things, some sleeping bag maybe. Who knows? Depends on the area. But basically in our situation, we are all basically more or less we are all the same. We are just in the beginning of our journey. So Sri Guru sometimes tell, go and stay in the temple, reject everything. According to our understanding, the current position, sometimes he say, no, take care of your family. He instructs this way, take care of your family, don't leave your job. depends, you know. So this is called Yukta Vairagya. Neither pravriti nor nivriti. Take the necessary and reject unnecessary. So, maybe anyone wants to engage in fault fighting? Anyone wants to challenge the teachings of Vaishnava?
And if everyone is in a different part of the map, so to say, and everyone is moving in a certain direction, it means that different people would need different things. But how to realize where you are at? Because you're self-understanding the one.
You cannot realize it by yourself. It is not possible. It's not possible to draw yourself for your hair out of the abyss. Someone must help you. So you may have a nice map, but to use it you need to know your location. Like, you know the right point where to go, but you don't know where you are. And only one who can adjust the theory, the map, with your current location, he can help you. Like, if you just read the books, or you do your search theoretically, that means you just... you're just exploring the map. You don't look at the locality. So there must be someone who can recognize your current position. He can see, oh, that river, it is that line, that curve on the map. Or that hill is relevant to that red circle, which signifies the hill. And then he can tell you, here you are, this position, and you have to move further there. So this is why we say this, the goal and your location on the map. Or if you don't take to studying Vaishnava scriptures, and you do it all by yourself, you look at the surroundings and you see the river, you see the hill, but you don't know where to go. You can move here and there in real location, changing your location, but where to finally go? You need to coincide, harmonize the map and your practical skills. So our sadhana, our practical skills are in Vaishnava society. It's our daily activities. It's our position in actual locality. And Vaishnava scriptures, they show us the map, the goals. So they tell us the actual goal is prema bhakti, the love. But you are here in the position of kama, of lust. So there are some poles, some signs on the way, like directions. If moving towards the goal, you see that road sign, like if you go to from London to Gatwick, there are some towns, some villages on the way, and by looking at the sign, at this signs, you can understand whether you're going right way or wrong way. So our spiritual guides, they also give us hints, some signs on the way, some road signs, which are, for example, when you feel inside yourself unhappiness when someone serves you, and you feel happiness when you have chance to serve your fellow Vaishnava. If you feel that, it's a actual sign on the road to love, to prema bhakti. But if somehow or other you like the position when devotees serve you, then you seemingly you move to a different direction. You have to change. So Vaishnavas, they give us some indications, but to see those indications, it's your dharma, it's your duty. No one, for you, no one will see it. So this is why Sridhar Maharaj, or Paramgur Maharaj, always says, he stress upon importance of self-reflection, to reflect on yourself. Am I moving in right direction or wrong direction? And how to reflect on yourself? To know the signs, to know the road indications by reading and studying Vaishnava's books or Vaishnava's revelations, because it may be not in form of book. It may be in sound, like lectures or talks by our spiritual guides, not in form of books. So they are revelations by listening attentively, meditating on their revelations. We can understand whether we go to right or wrong position. And of course they give us non-relevant, at the present position, non-relevant indications like rati, bhava, sneha, whatever. It is important, but important when we reach the particular, the relevant position. Not now. Like Mahaprabhu explains that feeling of gopi, which is called, I forgot, like kitimba, something, it's very, very complicated emotion when when externally you show disagreement with someone sexually harass you, but internally you're very glad. So Mahaprabhu explains that very, it includes seven emotions together. There is no correct translation in Western languages, but you know, in Sanskrit and Bengali there is. It is very interesting, but it does not refer to us in any way. So we may take to Sahaja Vaishnava's philosophy and start studying this irrelevant, at present position, irrelevant things, but they not only not help us, but they will drive us away from our journey. So that is the when we say causeless mercy of Vaishnava, he knows what exactly is relevant to us at our present position, what we should take to or what we should reject. So when we hear that exalted talks, we may just pay our respect and close our ears. So any other challenges, disagreements?
The other day you were mentioning this quote saying like following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and then you were saying that it is not a direct instruction which you follow, but it's a mood, not the mood, but it's the feeling which you develop and you follow according to it, not the instruction.
It is the same, following the foot. One thing is to follow instructions, and there is such a conception as following the steps. It's not exactly following instructions, and it's definitely not imitating. It's something else. It's when you have a certain emotion, when you have certain feeling, that feeling is the further step towards the goal, or step in opposite way from the goal. It doesn't discuss this now. So we have, when you have some new emotion, then you have to reflect whether this right emotion or not. And if this emotion indicates that you're following right way, then you keep it. You just remember it or take it with you as something valuable. Just put it in your treasure chest. Okay, now I know that this is right. Maybe I won't be able to have that emotion, to have that feeling for next million of lifetimes, but I know that this one is right, so I keep it. And then you're going further towards the goal, or you lose your way, doesn't matter. Then you have some new feeling, and if you contemplate on it, if you meditate on it, by remembering, once I read something similar. Once I read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, and I sang this. I didn't understand what was it about, but obviously that exalted Vaishnava expressed his feelings in no vain. It was something substantial. I didn't realize what was it. I didn't understand. I just repeated his words. But now something evoked in me, and it is similar to what he expressed maybe a million lifetimes before, or maybe 10 years ago. And it somehow or other corresponds. So I take it again. So this is another golden coin in my treasure box. That means following the footsteps. We may go astray, we may lose our way, then we come back to our way and make another step, and then we realize, something else. This is something new, and I read I sang it without understanding the right meaning. I sang it repeating after Narottam Das Thakur or Bimba Mangal Thakur. So in this way, that means we follow the footsteps. It is not exactly following the instructions, which is most important, following instructions. But to follow instructions and follow footsteps, it is not the same. We must understand it's different, two different conceptions. So, any other challenges or cunning questions?
So, between these footsteps can be the whole lifetimes.
Yeah. There is no time frame. There is no time frame. It may happen like Katvanga Maharaj. He just heard he heard Narada Muni's advice. I believe Narada Muni was. And he just realized he was offered for helping demigods. He was offered long time in heavenly atmosphere. But he rejected everything. Oh, it may take many times, including sorrows and sufferings and losing and gain and lost. Like we know the story from Srimad Bhagavatam when Makara, the crocodile, caught the elephant. By his leg. So though elephant is stronger normally, but in water he was weaker. So it took. So he was for 1,000 years, or how many years? 1,000, whatever, many years. He fought. He hoped on his he hoped for his personal strength, real strength and philosophical. So he fought for many years before he actually surrendered to the Lord, and then the Lord saved him. So it may take many time. There is no time frame.
I think the Bhagavad Gita is saying that the foolish is the man who is trying to take away his own strength, not depending on the.
Yeah.
On the Lord.
Because the foolish think, we think, that because, like Krishna says, Tatashta Shakti or Atma, Chit Shakti, which we are, is superior to Maya Shakti. Actually, we are spiritual potency, as we are called in ISKCON books. We are spiritual potencies, and we are superior to Maya, to objective world. So the foolish think that because we are superior, we are stronger. No, it's not true. We are superior in sense that we are kshetragya, and Maya is kshetra. But it doesn't mean that we necessarily stronger. Like if you have very powerful SUV car, very, very strong. But when you go to Abyss or
Marsh,
like
on
the
land.
Yeah, like, so no matter how powerful your car is, like 100 or 500 horsepower, you be stuck. So your car is stronger than sand, but sand is, your car is superior, faster and smarter than desert, the sand in desert, but you cannot move there. So this jiva soul is stuck in Maya, being superior. And without help of some superior, more superior force, which is called Param Atma, we cannot get rid of Maya. Because even the instrument that we try to get rid of illusion is also illusion. The instrument itself is also illusion. We can get rid of illusion by reason, by intelligence, but actually the intelligence is also illusion, the part of illusion. Here we are. This is how we stuck here.
So you get rid of grosser illusion by subtler.
Yeah.
And then you get rid of subtler illusion by...
Without listening to Bhagavata speech, Bhagavata words, we cannot get ourselves out of that deception, grand deception.
Bhagavata, the book or the person?
Anyway, revelation, Bhagavata. Revelation about Bhagavan means Bhagavata. It may take, these revelations may take in person or instruction, written or heard.
And is it somehow adhering to the revelations of the Bhagavata, does it help you to get your own? By hearing the revelations of the Bhagavata, the Mahabhagavata, Vaishnava, does it help to get your own revelation?
Your own?
Revelation, like a realization of something.
Yes, sure. But it can be only... you can get it only if you do sadhana, you do your own efforts, daily based efforts. We don't really count on revelations as they are. Like we sit back and listen to revelations. We have to do something. Revelations come. Of course, no one is going to restrict Krishna. He can give revelations to anyone, even if one does not make any effort. But as Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, we don't count on this much. We want to do some efforts to show Krishna or to show the source of revelations that we care. Because when you sit and wait when revelation come, that means but it may come, but you show that it's not urgent for you. It's not like very important. It's not a case of emergency. But when you make mistakes, but you act in a way, in some ways, in this way you show that you're really desperate, you need it. Like if you have the emergency case and you call 112 here?
999.
Okay, so you call that. And hello, maybe you come? I need you, maybe you come. But another one called, no, please come. She shows really emergency case. And who the emergency service first come to? Big chance to one who really has short breath and cry and, you know, showing emotions, rather than to whom maybe you come. So to get revelation, we have
to, it's a side effect of some real like tension, like you get it, like begging. You just have to wait until this like urgency appears.
Yeah, like our Vaishnavas in our line, they say, now I reached to the final point. Further, there is nothing. So if you won't appear, then there is no existence for me anymore. Though you say, Krishna, you say that you affirm that jiva soul is eternal, but after reaching that point I realize it is not true, Krishna, because there is no further life for me, there is no further existence for me without you show up. And that's the sign of really desperation. It's on the edge of existence and non-existence. That is expressed by our the Guru. It's Raghunath Das Goswami, Prabhu says. Krishna, I don't believe what you say, the jiva soul is eternal. It's not true. Because next very moment, I cease to be.
And the other thing you were saying about this giving up future or giving up tomorrow. But in this case, which you described right now, they don't have to give it up anyway because it's just there is no such thing. But like say in my case, there's so many things I could give up. Like
we must understand that the devotees, they are always in this. In this state of consciousness, it is called, in Sanskrit, it is called bhava. Bhava means the state of consciousness. They're always on the edge of existence and non, to be or not to be. This is the question. They're always in the state of asking. They are the they are the form of the question to be or not to be. Like you take the sugar and this is the form of sweetness. Sugar is the form, rock sugar is the form of sweetness. Radha is the form of devotion. Like the cucumber is the form of bitterness. Am I right? So any conception has its form, its visualization. So the question to be or not to be is the form of a devotee, of Vaishnava, exalted Vaishnava. To be or not to be, this is the question. And they are in dark. Without seeing the Lord, not seeing the Lord for them is the darkness. Like we now, we have the bright future, but they are in complete darkness. And Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, in 10th verse, 10th or 11th verse, in 10th chapter, he says, don't worry, when that darkness devours you, I will appear. And with the light of knowledge, I will enlighten you. That means I will appear and you will see me, myself. Not because I'm that kind, but because if you stop to be, then there will be no place for me to dwell. So don't think I'm too kind. It's just for my own benefit. Because I lose the... what they say? Proof of address.
These things which you describe, it's not something you can attain by sadhana.
Sadhana plus mercy.
Gurudev Kripa.
Vaishnava Kripa. Sadhana plus mercy. It may be attained just by mercy, but we don't count much on this.
I don't know if this is what Ramananda was kind of hinting at, but revelation may be the right word or the wrong word here, but without something coming from above, then we have no inspiration to continue, no...
Yeah. Yeah, just following rules and regulations... We won't long last. We need some, as Srila Gurudev says, some nourishment from upper side. These are his words. Nourishment from upper side. Yeah, we need it. Otherwise, we lose prana. We lose electricity. Prana... Actually, in Greek philosophy, it is called electricity. When a goddess Electra appeared, she gave like life to be goddess Electra, Greek goddess. So electricity, it's a prana. So for some time we can take the prana from battery, but battery won't long last. Some big battery or small battery, eventually they're going to be empty.
Acharya was giving an example that you need to charge your mobile phone.
Yeah, Gurudev said this. So that help or that revelation or any nourishment from above, it's like electricity, goddess of Electra, which for materialist goddess of Electra, she is Durga. They take charging. They charge themselves from Durga, because she opens perspectives, become rich, famous, whatever. And for Vaishnava, goddess Electra, it's she is directly Srimati Radharani. She gives nourishment through Sri Guru, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Guru. Through him, through senior Vaishnava, we get that electricity, prana. Like we say, prana na nahibar, ohe Vaishnava Thakur. If you don't give me electricity, this prana, nahiba, I stop to exist. So every day we ask, recharge us. You know, I think everyone encountered that experience when he or she left the society of devotees, for some time is able to follow rules and regulations. What's the difficult? To chant or to read or to put tilak or whatever. But after some time, you find yourself unable. No matter how strong you are, your batteries will get empty. So we are not able to follow alone that path in footsteps of Vaishnava. Okay, so now the time to...
Maharaj, I just have one little question. Just in line with what you've been discussing. I don't know if you remember, but one place Srila Sridhar Maharshi mentioned, he's just like a brief mention, I've never seen it anywhere else. In one place he mentions that bhakti develops in two ways. And I think he uses these terms, sadhana siddhi, kripa siddhi, something like that. And it always puzzled me because it seemed to me, I mean, like we're talking about sadhana, but as I understand, the purpose of sadhana is to attract mercy. It's not that sadhana is only successful if it's able to attract mercy. Mm.
Perfect, yeah, perfect. There's nothing to add. Sadhana is not to make yourself powerful or skillful in any ways. But to show to upper side, look, I'm trying, I'm here.
Yeah.
Sadhana means to move. You know, when you are not moving, they won't notice, they won't recognize you. You know, the serpent's or lizard's eye is designed in such a way that creature cannot notice anything unmovable. Only when something starts moving, then it notices and catch it. Or runs away if it's a danger. So if there's it's not only serpents and reptiles' eye designed like this. Even our eye designed like this. If you stop moving your eyes, or if the object stops moving, then you won't be able to see anything. You know, like concentrate on some point and don't move. Then all things disappear. This is the process of meditation, actually. Even in hatha or what ashtanga yoga, when you concentrate on your nose, on point of your nose or crisscross here, and breathe deep after some time and hold your breath sometime, after a while you won't see anything but the point that you concentrated on. So to be noticed, you have to do some movements. Otherwise, they won't see you. This is called sadhana. I'm trying. I run here and there. But don't run fast, because when you really fast, then also the radar won't work. You remember that movie, French movie, Taxi, when they wanted to spot the taxi driven by the guy. So they took the position, the policeman took the position on the way, but the guy runs so much fast that the radar couldn't catch him, and they just, what was this? Because so run in Yukta Vairagya way, style, not too fast and not too slow. Okay, I think all questions are covered by the time. Yeah, no questions.
Are they ready for Arvind?
Not really. But there is nothing to say.
We can sing, Maharaj.
Yes. So,
Okay. We have heard many times that, like, we all have to face these three difficulties or challenges, Kaya, Camille, and Batista. And from the three of them, Batista will be the most difficult. But, that means that the other two, for example, will not be difficult, because for many, myself, for example, these are very difficult to overcome. So, like
all this karma coming in. When we say that pratishtha is most difficult, we mean that karma and kamini may be stopped by physical withdrawal yourself from the objects of your attraction. Like you may lock yourself up in monastery and you won't see the objects of your lust. So in this way it's easier by doing some physical work. But pratishtha means, which means self-establishment, the desire of establish yourself in this reality. Even it's difficult because even if you withdraw yourself, even if you put yourself in complete darkness, like you switch off all lights and cut yourself from the objects of attraction, you will have that desire to self aggrandizement,
or
yeah, self establishment, because after a while you will get the power over material energy. You will find yourself be leader of some followers. If you lock yourself, yes, you become powerful. You will have that Shakti, that goddess Shakti. She will promise you to become your wife. You become Shakti man by tapa. What's the tapa word? Like austerities. And when you come out, when you do your come out, you will find so many followers.
With the pratishtha, is it a sense as well of, because it's more subtle, it's about who I am, it's your identity. Mm. And to give up that sense of identity without some higher identity.
Yeah, well, others are false. It's what I have. And pratishtha, who I am, you're right. Because that what I have, you can throw it. It's easy, physically. But you cannot throw away your identity. So this is why it's not so easy. You remember that story from Bhagavatam when Prachetas, the sons of Daksha, Prajapati Daksha, they got that Shakti from tapa, from austerity, in the ocean. And then when they got that much power, they went out on the ocean shore and they saw the trees that covered all area. And they burned, with their power, they burned down to ashes all trees and made the way to where? To king, and asking what? Give us wives to marry. That's the end of austerity. Uh-huh. And after you get married, then you get some fat. In the beginning, you are skinny. And once you have...
Gurudev told that story. I don't remember his name. You can remember that Rishi who was meditating underwater.
And saw fish.
Then he was the fish. But he made some offense to Garuda because he was very protective of the fish. And for so many years, he was living in this very austere way. And then because he made this offense to Garuda, then his mentality became disturbed and the fish, like, brushing up against him, and some, like, calm arose.
Can you imagine?
He went out to king who lived nearby, and I want to marry all you. He had, like, 50 daughters or something. I want to marry all you.
And he looked ugly.
Yeah, so the king wasn't sure. And then because of his power, he transformed his body. So
into young men.
And they all fell in love.
Yeah, but can you imagine, you see fish, and it's like a porno movie for yourself. So this is what happened. Or you see... flies, not this mosquito, loving each other, and you become lusty. It's a madness, but this is what happened. Okay, so I think it's time to finish this lifetime.
Thank you, Maharaj. You're very approachable. I usually never ask questions, so you're very approachable.
No, you're not asking. Give instructions. What was the name of this sage? It was in Bhagavatam, actually.
Yeah. Should we call the pujari?
Yeah.
Is he here?